Okay, I'll save that for episode two.
And then you can talk about doing the wedding in episode two, maybe.
Yeah, except I won't have done it.
I understand. Well, I understand how time works.
Talk about what I'm going to do interesting.
Sure.
Sure.
Hello and welcome to episode 237 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, still here.
Still in Vancouver.
Yeah.
What's going... It is still early here.
Yeah, because are we going to unveil the fact that we're doing these back-to-back?
I think people will figure that out.
Okay, we're doing them back-to-back.
Yes, summer scheduling means that we kind of have to load a couple episodes, and so...
So you're not going to ask me about what's going on in Vancouver or anything, because we really don't have anything new to say.
Well, you're going to do the red sky nonsense again, and...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I'll talk about that, yeah.
We won't do that.
I went to a Soyuz, we covered that.
But it means that last week's episode, we recorded at 5 a.m. over here, and yet I was still hilarious. Did you notice that?
No, you were right on point.
Yeah. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Great.
What is going on? I got some stuff that's going on.
Okay, tell me what's going on.
Well, this is all health-related stuff.
Oh, I don't care.
Well, no, but you're the physiotherapist.
Exactly. You're going to try to get some free physio advice out of me.
True.
Yeah, okay.
That's a true story. played baseball last week, as we talked about, in the 40-degree heat. Now, all week I had practiced full speed. Leg felt great.
Yeah.
Towards the beginning of game two of the doubleheader, it started to swell a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Nothing didn't hurt. Did not hurt at all.
Yeah.
Pain is usually the sign that something's wrong, right?
Right.
If it doesn't hurt, I'm good. I can keep playing.
Did it hurt, like, the next day?
No.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay, I ended up coming out of the game anyway, but someone else went in, but I didn't want to push it. I didn't want it to hurt. Yeah. I wanted to be play smart. But I had figured, because it's so long, and I practiced all, you know, a week, no problem. All the practices go 2-3 hours, and the game was like, you know, the whole game day itself is like an 8-hour day, right?
Yeah.
So I figured by then maybe that was just too much. So at practice last night, the first practice after this game, I wore a compression sock. What do you call those? Like a...
Yeah, that's called? That's what I would call it, yeah.
Yeah, so I wore one of those, and it seems to have done its job.
There you go. I recommended that to you.
You did. But I thought I was out of the woods, and because it was 40 degrees, I thought, there's no need to add an extra sock to this.
Right.
Because it is very, very hot, and I don't need that. Turns out I should have worn the compression sock under my uniform. Because it did balloon up, and you wear the... I don't wear the pants. Like, you know how all the guys wear, like, the super long pants now for baseball?
Yes.
I don't approve of that, by the way. I'm old school, and you wear the actual, like, the knee highs.
Yeah.
And so, because I wear those and tight stirrup socks, you could see the swelling.
Right.
So it was pretty evident, and thought, ooh, everybody thought, you better go sit down, old man. And so at that point, once the game got out of hand, we actually lost the second game. And once it got out of hand and it was clear that we weren't going to come back from a 7-0 deficit, I sat down.
Right.
Next week, compression sock is what I'm telling you.
Buy them on Amazon.
I'll bet you they sell them there.
Yeah, they probably do.
If you do, click through our site. There you go.
Yeah, give us a cut on your compression socks.
That's how we're going to put the kids through college, is that compression sock money.
I bought something new this week. That's the what's new and interesting with me.
What did you buy?
I bought another camera strap for my other camera.
Wow.
Yeah, I was sick of... unscrewing it and transferring it back one camera to the other, I kind of go back and forth a fair bit, and I use the backup camera in the summertime, you know, at the beach all the time or near the water. And so I just thought, all right, this is kind of silly, and I hate using the neck strap or carrying it over my shoulder. I really am a full convert when it comes to camera straps. Can't live without it now. It's probably one of those things now. I can never go back. I love the use of my camera strap. And so I went to the camera store fully expecting to just buy another one of the same one I had, and they didn't have that one in the store.
Which is, what's the one that you have?
I want to say it's like, it's the Black Rapid. I want to say it's an RS7, I believe.
Okay, but Black Rapid, though.
Yeah, it's a Black Rapid. And so, anyways, they didn't have it. They had other Black Rapid ones. Some of them were more expensive. And then I saw they had a Carry Speed one, and I know that's what I had bought for you. Now, I don't think they had the exact same one that I got for you, because, again, it seems like, you know, they come up with different ones all the time. There's 4 or 5 different Carry Speed ones, but I kind of went with one that looked pretty similar to the Black Rapid one I had and loved, and I bought that. I bought the what's called the FS Slim, and so it's pretty similar to the one that I already have, with a couple of nuances that I really, really like that aren't included with the Black Rapid. So I'm going to tell you about those if you care to know.
I'm all ears.
Okay, so one key thing it has that the Black Rapid doesn't have is it has a safety. So essentially a second connection that you can run to your camera and then connects to the strap that, again, I love. I've never had a problem with the Black Rapid. It's not been an issue, but I could see it possibly happening. And again, when you're carrying around a, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 camera, just kind of a nice thing. It doesn't get in the way, and it's just there just in case something were to happen. So I like that. And then the other thing it has is it has, like, on the bottom of the plate that attaches to the base of the camera, on the bottom of that, it actually has like screw threads in 6 different spots that you can mount it directly to your tripod, or to the plate that goes on your tripod, to the quick mount plate that all the tripods have. With the Black Rapid, you have to buy another adapter for this function that's, I want to say, you know, $15 or $20. And I never bought it. Always found that was a bit of a nuisance to me, is that when I want to plug it in a tripod, now I have to unscrew the strap and then I have to screw the plate on, and never bothered to buy the adapter because it doesn't come up that often. I don't use a tripod that often, but when it does come up, it kind of ticks me off. And so it was never a deal breaker, but I just thought, oh, this one, it's included. It's just the way they make the mounting plate. Does yours do this?
I have to find out. I'm going to reach into my drawer. Other drawer.
Yeah. And just on the bottom of it will be some, like, mine has 6 kind of screw kind of spots.
Yes, mine has that.
Perfect. That is ingenious and does not require an additional purchase. So I want to say that the strap I bought, the FS Slim, was pretty much the exact same price as the Black Rapid RS7 one I had. I want to say they're both probably around, depending on where you buy it, $70 to $80, something like that. In the U.S., they're a little bit cheaper. Just as comfortable as the Black Rapid. Everything in the function of the strap is exactly the same. A little bit bulkier attachment point, which, depending on the kind of camera bag you're using, might be a little bit of an issue. Like, it's a little bit of a tighter fit just because of the way it swivels on the bottom of the camera. But
let me throw a big butt in there. If you look at it basically where it attaches to the ball head,
yeah,
you can unscrew the ball head from the bottom plate and mount the ball head directly into your camera.
Right.
If you want to.
Yes, yes. That can be
done. I didn't want to.
No, I didn't either. I like the extra. And actually, I'm not sure because mine is different. I think you can still do that. Because I know it plugs into another piece. But yeah, I like the way it's kind of all attached as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that I can just basically plunk that right down on a tripod. And I use that when I was away on the weekend. I used that and loved it. And so if I was basically going heads up right now, I know I've only had it for a limited time, for the exact same price, I love the fact that it's got a safety and it's got the ability to screw into the tripod and it's just as comfortable as the Black Rapid one. So yes. There you go. I would probably head to head, I would take the FS Slim. Now, if the Black Rapid was $10 cheaper, and it might be for some people, depending on where you're at and where you're shopping, the Black Rapid is a great strap, does everything you need it to do. But if you do use a tripod, and if you're a warrior, this one's got a couple features that it's hard to turn down for the same price.
I can't see the model name on my carry speed, so it might be the FS Slim. FS sounds like something.
Yeah,
that I remember. I also love my strap, but probably for a different reason, and something for a select few of our listeners to think about. If you are shooting video,
okay,
this comes in very handy for a couple of reasons. One, you can quickly adjust the size of the strap, so which means the tension, I suppose, on where your camera, how far down your camera hangs.
Yes.
Which means when you bring it up, you can adjust how far away you hold the camera from your body.
Okay.
So that, therefore, if it's nice and tight, you can actually have it up near your eye and enough tension pushing away from your body to sort of act as a stabilizer.
Okay, there you go. I hadn't thought of that.
That's something to keep in mind. But the main reason that I love it, I mean, I'd love it for many reasons, but one, the main video reason is that I use a Zacuto Z Finder on the back, so I can get, you know, good focus, good exposure, all that when I'm shooting video.
Right.
The one I would say kind of negative about that I don't like about the Zacuto is that it's designed to come off your camera really quickly so that you can see the LCD screen without it.
Yeah.
It comes off a little too quickly. And so what they actually do is they sell special little straps, like little, what should be 4-cent straps. They sell for like $19.95, of course, because they're branded.
Right.
And I'm not going to buy those little gummy things that clip on. So I use something I like to call rubber bands.
Okay, yeah.
You can buy a whole pack of them for pretty much free. And so I use those. But in order to put them on, you have to remove the camera strap. Or just remove the camera strap once, put the rubber bands on that holds the Z Finder in place. And then if you want to pop that off, you can just leave the rubber bands hanging on your strap if you want, which I don't like to do. I might have to set it, put a photo up.
Yeah, I think I need to see it.
It's not going to happen in real time. It'll have to happen later.
Okay.
and so it's kind of annoying. However, with this, the base plate instead of your normal camera strap, because your normal camera strap attaches to the top right and left of the camera.
Right.
Right? Now, this one uses a base plate on the bottom, so now you can get those elastic bands on and off without removing the strap ever.
I see. Yes, yes. Okay.
So, for video-wise, it is fantastic. I love using it. It comes in very, very handy.
Yeah. Well, and there you go. I think it's pretty much a given that I love it, because I went out to buy a second one and spend $80 on my backup camera because mm-hmm. I can't live without the strap now.
Yes. So. And with mine, like the base plate for the Z Finder goes on the camera first. It has the tripod or the screw mounts in the bottom of that plate, which is then where the carry speed goes.
Right.
And then under that has more, and that's where the tripod mount goes. So you stack them up three high, and everybody wins. You get everything you need to do is in one place.
Yes, exactly.
Love it.
So there you go. So, another product review.
Yeah, so, and I find I get the most value out of it when I combine it with a compression sock. So.
Yes, yes, yeah. They should sell those together on Amazon.
It's not going to hurt sales, is all I'm saying.
Those who bought this also bought...
I kind of love that little feature on Amazon.
I know, and sometimes I'm just looking at it just for fun. Oh, I wonder what else those guys bought.
Yeah, what? And it can't just be one-offs. Like, it can't just be, you know, it has to be some people. A lot of people are buying this, yeah. I assume.
Yeah.
So those combinations are great. Forget the show. I'm just going to click around Amazon and see what we can come up with.
Well, just the Amazon show.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting in the last half an hour?
No, I didn't, but should mention that by the time this airs, we'll have already shot another wedding, but in real time, the wedding is going to be this weekend that I'm doing on a boat in North Vancouver. So should
on
be
a boat.
Yeah, it's on a boat that's basically essentially a wedding boat that's parked.
I hope so.
In
yeah,
North Vancouver. And yeah, I'm really, really hoping, because as it sits right now, I'm really hoping that some of the smoke in Vancouver clears, because it will be really easy to photograph, but they are paying for a beautiful view that I'm hoping exists for their photos by this weekend. So that's my only concern. But for the purposes of photos, I have no problem taking good photos in that kind of overcast light. Just it won't look like you've got beautiful Vancouver skyline in the background.
The vista. Now, you say it's in North Van?
I believe the boat is parked in North Van, and they showed me pictures and some video of where it's stationed and what surrounds it. And you've got essentially full panoramic views of the city, the mountains, everything. It looks awesome. And I've also, the nice thing about, because, you know, we always talk about, okay, well, how is it for photos? There's where they're going to have the dinner in the boat is low ceilings, all white. So great for, you know, bouncing flash off of the roof. Don't have to worry about that. The outdoor area where they're having ceremony is got kind of these, like, I guess for rain purposes, but got these kind of white kind of tarped areas of roof that you can kind of almost like sails kind of pitched up in different spots. So again, great way to bounce some flash on camera off of the white essentially bounce board, so that I can use that. And again, hopefully if it's clear day, the wedding is just, we're going to hopefully get some great evening light shots. I'm thinking more after the ceremony for photos. So, very excited about it. I think again, if we get a nice night anyways, like we should at this time of year in Vancouver, could be a lot of nice photos. And
so the boat does go out though.
No. I think the boat stays stationary as far as I understand. It stays parked. It's a wedding boat that stays parked. I could be wrong about that, but the impression I got, it doesn't really matter. It'd be great if it went out, but I think it might stay docked.
So that's what the hot move is, like when it goes out and they tell you, yeah, it's like it's an eight hour thing. We're just gonna hire you for the 1 hour though.
Yeah.
We just need a couple of shots of the cake. Hey, while you're here, why don't you just go ahead and shoot everything?
Yeah. And I'm going to bring my wife with me to assist, because thought it would be fun. Also thought that, you know, especially
date night.
I just thought during the ceremony too, I might actually, you know, be able to shoot one, like all the 85 mil shots that I want. And as they come down the aisle, it just allows me to give her a camera, preset it, and let her take a totally different angle of perspective. And I can't be in the two places at once, but this kind of lets me do that. And also, she knows enough of how, if I make the settings, she knows enough of how to use the camera that, you know, she's good at getting focus, and she might just get some that I don't get. So it just gives me that extra person to get some things that I might not be able to get when I'm completely on my own. So
plus, she's a big fan of the show, so she knows how to take pictures.
Yeah, she knows how to take pictures. And also, what she's really good at is, you know, coming up with ideas for posing. And also, she notices things like, you know, when you're behind the camera and you're shooting a group shot and that one person is completely not paying attention and you're not going to pick it up on the LCD, she'll say, take that one again, because so-and-so was not even close to paying attention. So there is that extra set of eyes that sees things that you're not looking for when you're just trying to get exposure and even light and whatnot.
I appreciate that. I really, really appreciate having a spotter in those, because you look back and go, oh, wow, that guy's tie is way out of whack.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, especially in a group shot, that's when something can be missed.
And in formal shots, I'm thinking too, you know, like when you pose the bridesmaids together or the groomsmen together, sometimes one of them just has a funny hand placement or something that you just don't see, and you get back and you look at the photos and you're like, darn, they're all the same except for this one guy is doing something totally different, and you can't help but stare at that, whereas like you say, the spotter generally picks things like that up.
That's the kind of thing that I feel like, you know, someone who's been shooting for 20 years and has a lot of reps, they don't make that mistake. I'm still in the position where that can slip by me.
Yes.
And that does drive me crazy, or someone's hair, or like the, and in those situations, this is how sexist I am. I find that women tend to pay more attention and are more vigilant with not just women's hair, but like guys' hair or little things, little details that I kind of write off. As a guy, I'm like, who cares?
I 100% agree with you. And where I also think, like, if I take a picture of a guy and his hair is off a bit, I think like a guy and I think, well, you know, that's fine. He's not going to care. But where my wife has insight is things that she knows other women won't like in themselves in a photo. So she'll pick up on, oh, she won't like her hair like that, or oh, she won't like her angle like that. And again, that kind of information is invaluable because I don't see it. I think it looks perfectly fine. And she says, no, because, you know, whatever, her shirt's untucked this way, or her hip looks too wide based on that angle. So those are the kind of insights that, again, women know women much, much better.
So hire a spotter is what you're telling me.
Yeah, and it certainly helps if you're a guy to have a female spotter. And I think also there's probably value in vice versa.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm not sure as much value, but I think guys can also be of some value.
So either hire a guy with a female spotter or just hire a female.
Yeah.
Because she's good. I'll bet you Amber catches those details.
Probably does. And again, like you say, it's probably, you know, just the reps of doing weddings. I think those are, you just start to think that way. Because once you have that guy's hands off a few times in your photos, you obviously start looking for it, right?
Yes. I'm worried that you and I are going to have to go and talk to HR about our sexist views.
Yeah, I think it's sexist in a positive way.
Not possible.
Yeah, I'm pro women. is there such a thing? Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically I am too, but it doesn't make for good podcasts if you agree. So I'll just take the other stance.
Okay.
And we'll see where we come out on that one.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing how that goes. What time does the wedding start? What time are you shooting from and
I think this, again, trying to, you know, vaguely remember the exact schedule, but I want to say.
I bet your wife knows.
Yeah, she probably does. I think the ceremony is somewhere in the 5 to, no, maybe that's wrong. Oh, I don't know. I'm gonna say it's early evening. I think that it's somewhere before 7, nice. 6 to 7, something like that. Maybe I'm wrong, 5:30 to 6, something like that. I know I'm doing prep shots at around 2 to 3 for the guys. And then, I think 3:30 to 4:30 for the girls. So I'm going to say it starts, just after 5, the actual ceremony.
So and then with the dinner and reception, you'll be shooting into the sunset.
Yeah. And again, I think after the dinner, the reception, like they've carved out times for photos all in between. So again, it seems like the photos are a big priority for them. So they've really done a nice job giving me ample time to carve it out. When I shot my cousin's wedding last summer, it was really tight. I mean, I was really happy with the results, but I really didn't have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of reflector and not a lot of lit photos. It was a lot of just bounced light.
Which sounds like you're going to have a great opportunity for lighting. And going into the sunset, does that mean you're going to throw some gels in your bag?
I will throw some gels, and I'm kind of torn between whether or not I bring the studio light. So again, I have the ability to do it. I think it could make for some awesome photos. Not sure I'm really going to want to lug it around, but I could also probably just park it somewhere. You know, like I'm
on
sure
on a boat. My instinct, without knowing too much about the specifics, is do not bring it.
Don't bring. Just you think it's a bigger hassle than it's worth.
I think the return on investment isn't going to be great. I mean, because you're probably going to talk about shooting, you know, a half dozen shots with it versus...
Yeah, and really, I mean, basically the best photos are going to be at the right time of the light anyways, and so I'm not really going to have a need for that. And during the ceremony, it's just not going to happen. So yeah, there really isn't that. It might help with a big lit group shot, but I mean, there's ways to work.
I could imagine you
too.
Getting a great result sort of at sunset with it. Like it will provide a really nice light. But will it be that much better than a small strobe?
Probably,
or a speed light?
Yeah, probably not that. Especially if it's at a time of day where it's getting darker anyways.
And does your wife want to carry that around on a stick?
No, she probably doesn't. I wouldn't make her do that. I would just put it on a stand.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I'd still have to kind of move it around.
Yeah, you'd need to do that. I mean, ideally, you'd have, you know, somebody like myself who would walk around with it on a boom pole, essentially,
yeah,
we'll call
yeah.
it, with, you know, and I'd be wearing the motorcycle battery as a backpack.
Yeah.
And just walk around, and you're going to get just fantastic results with something like that. But
right.
Don't ask your wife to do that and be a spotter. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and my wife's quite accustomed to just carrying around the little softbox with just a speed light. And again, I've always had good results with that setup, and it's far more portable and functional. So that's likely the way I was going to go. But yeah, I did have it in the back of my mind of, oh, hey, this would be awesome. But based on the time of their wedding, really don't need it. If it was right dead set in the middle of the high noon, then it might be a different situation.
And you'd be late getting to the wedding. Hang on, I'm just listening to last week's episode.
Yeah.
How to Overpower the Sun. Yeah. Okay, go. Get married.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that your wife can't carry that thing around. I'm going to say she doesn't want to.
No, she does. She's not going to want
physically able to. Very, yeah. very, very capable.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes, I understand.
I don't want to do it either. So, there's that. I had to shoot some passport photos, which doesn't sound interesting.
No.
At all.
No.
It's for a couple guys on my team who have to extend their visas. They need these, like, biometric passport photos.
Right.
So I had them come over to the house, you know, found actually we still have one white wall left because I painted mostly colors around the house. And I thought, oh boy, you know, the old place we had white walls everywhere. Now we just have the one, but still was able to light it up and just did the simple, you know, passport photos. Two lights on the back wall, like cross lit so that it just pops out white.
Right.
And then placed the softbox basically right above the camera.
Okay.
Like just like the bottom of the softbox is touching the lens. Just to pump a bunch of soft light in their face, light them evenly so that, you know, the guy at the airport can see their picture properly. And then it had each subject hold a white reflector right underneath themselves. So like essentially clamshell lighting.
Yeah.
But they're holding it themselves, and boom, you know, you got great results. That's not the interesting part. That's pretty boring.
Right.
Except for, I thought, hey, you know, there's three guys that came over, and I thought, hey, well, while you're here, you know, almost the exact same setup, I'm just going to move the key light, you know, off the side of the camera instead of being right above, drop the reflector, and boom, they got some nice headshots with a white background. Just for fun.
Just for fun.
Well, just like they weren't looking for headshots. They're not looking for acting work. But it was, I just thought, hey, you know, while we're here, it takes me all of, you know, 8 seconds to move this light and we'll snap the same photos. I was shooting with the 85 in a portrait mode because that's all I need, right, for the passport photos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved the key light and then flipped it into a horizontal, like into a panorama, what do you call it, a landscape mode.
Right.
And kept the 85mm lens and just kind of shot them off to one side and boom, without much heavy lifting at all, they had headshots out of the deal too. So
perfect.
Real simple to do. Now, I don't think you end up shooting passport photos much in Canada, do you?
You're not allowed.
You're not allowed. See, in Germany, they don't mind. They recognize that that's not really an issue, and so you don't have to go to a licensed place with a stamp and all that stuff. just go ahead. You can go do it literally in a photo booth in the train station.
Right.
I think it's about $10 or something like that, and you just pop your money in, and it's an actual photo booth.
I love that. I don't know mm-hmm. why we're so strict here about that photo.
Yeah, cash grab, I think.
I think so, too. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. Photo challenge from last week.
Mm-hmm. Fun in the sun.
Fun in the sun. You issued it. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I issued it because we recorded these episodes 5 minutes apart, and we decided mm-hmm. we were doing these two recordings yesterday. So, big surprise that this is also from my trip to the lake at a Soyuz. Okay. And, this is my son jumping off the dock. Now, I chose a picture specifically that didn't have as much water in it because the challenge was fun in the sun. This was something we were doing a different time of day, so not the golden hour. This is much more in the earlier afternoon. I want to say maybe 3:30, 4 o'clock. This was on day one where we got there. We just got out into the water, the kids saw the dock, and of course proceeded to jump off it probably, I don't know, 30 times each. Jack had a game of catch the football off of it, but this was the first or the second jump, and I loved his in-air pose and, you know, the mountains, the sky. It was just right away spoke to me, like in camera, knew that was a photo that I liked, and still, again, love it. Colors get a little bit washed out, trying to keep some of the blues, bring the shadows up a little bit because they're super harsh. So this is a bit of the save that we've talked about in the past. But mm-hmm. for the pose and the backdrop, just absolutely love this photo.
I also like this photo.
Okay.
But in the spirit of back and forth and a couple of nitpicks that will turn this from a good photo into what I would assume to be a great photo.
Yeah.
Here are my nitpicks. And these are things that there's no way I would have controlled myself.
Okay, go for it.
The kickboards, don't need those in the photo.
Nope, but I still love them.
Okay, you still love them.
I absolutely love it. I mean, it's the color. It's also mm-hmm. what they did a huge chunk of the time. So it's, again, it's part of the story. So I don't mind the yes. kickboards. I can understand that nitpick from, again, somebody just photographically. Absolutely fair comment. Doesn't bother me one bit because to me it was all part of.
On a personal note, yeah. it's not going to bother you at all. Yeah, like, yeah. For the reasons you just said, yeah. Yes, it looks like grandma's couch, that color scheme.
Yeah.
But just I'm talking about just from a objective point of view, someone who doesn't know
sure.
where this was taken, who this was.
Absolutely.
From good to great now. The thing about these docks are the new, well, not new necessarily ones, but they're not that good looking. I mean, the stuff that's floating underneath, something about it is just aesthetically to me.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing you could do about that.
Yeah,
But I would still include more simply because, and I don't know why this is, I've loved going to the lake. I love boats. I love the marinas in the lake, especially the covered ones, the smell, the feeling, the colors. I love what happens to the color of the water under the dock.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of a greeny. You can see a little bit. It's kind of a greeny color.
Yeah, so you can see a hint of it there. So what I would do in this case, it was basically include water. I know you purposely disincluded the water, but I would include more water below to show that little piece of green underneath. That would really balance out the photo.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, because this is not cropped one bit, and I actually mm-hmm. had the same thought, is that I really wanted to shoot him up in the sky. I wanted the background to be the sky, which means I had to basically be pretty close. This, again, 50 mil lens, and I had to basically be really close to the water because I'm kind of shooting up from a really close perspective. So in order to do that, you have to move back, and then that changes the angle, and I can no longer mm-hmm. get him soaring up over the mountains. I get a completely different vantage point. So basically, I attempted it. It's like I couldn't do it. I wanted him, the the key was he was going to be clear up in the sky, kind of soaring from that angle. It totally makes him look like he's jumping higher than he actually is when you look at how close his foot is to the actual dock, right? Mm-hmm. But you get that feeling of him flying because of that angle. And to me, that was kind of like I had to choose what was the – it was either right. the angle or was going to be including more of the water. And again, I love – in comparison, I have other photos from different angle. I love this photo for that, again, background being all sky and behind him.
That's important too. Like that's I would definitely not lose that. I would say that might be a situation where, you know, should I have the 30 mil, you know?
Yeah, and then you're right. In the 30 mil, same photo, you would get more of that water.
And what that would allow you to do is, are you in the water on this?
Oh, yeah, I'm in the water, yeah.
So that's kind of nice. So I would say, yeah, shoot with a wider lens, include more of that down below. And the other little nitpick is just I would try to – that would allow you to position yourself a little lower in the water and basically get his right toe a few centimeters higher so that it doesn't intersect with the dock. So that there's some separation.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. And this was shot with a polarizer, by the way, or the neutral density filter. Because at this time of day, you wouldn't get this without the filter. I would either lose the sky. The sky would be a lot whiter, or like I say, you'd get harsher brights on his body. Because again, look, even his hair. Like this is like, you know, super powerful sun time. So even his skin tones change a little bit because of the polarizer. So this is a situation of circular polarizer.
There's no, that's the thing is you take, you know, one glance at this and you think, oh wow, you'd rather have deep blue skies. And that I don't feel that way. I kind of like the washed out sky because it reminds me of this time of day in the summer.
Exactly.
It is very faithful to what it's actually like. You don't have those deep blue skies, and especially in the interior where this was taken, this is really true to the conditions up there.
Yes.
The kind of washed out thing. So that part, not a nitpick. I have no issue with that whatsoever. Just those two little nitpicks. Again, things that I'd be in the same situation and think, oh, great, can't, you know, nothing you can do.
Yeah, and I totally agree with your nitpicks. That said, absolutely we'll print this and put this up somewhere.
Like, I prefer you delete it.
I like this photo that much. Like to me again, it's all the pose and it's the feeling too. It just it makes me think how much fun we had. Like it just speaks to me as a parent. And some photos photographically that are better than this just don't speak to me the same. So it's kind of one of those sentimental photos. Yeah.
And when you have dinner guests over and they look on the wall, they're going to look at that photo and they're not going to say, meh. Yeah, it is. It definitely is. It is a good photo. Yes. No question.
All right. Moving on.
All right. Okay. Moving on. Here's mine. Again, short notice, so didn't have much to choose from, and here's my daughter having fun at the pool.
Yeah, I do like it.
Basically, without thinking about, without knowing ahead of time, it's exactly the opposite of what you just talked about with yours.
Yeah, it's very different, but I still really like it.
And, it's fine.
And the only, the main thing that I don't like, again, everything exposure on her is great. It's just that it's the depth of field. Like the depth of field is there's just too much going on. That's my critique. And I mean, I think that's the most obvious critique, right? You're of course she's in the forefront of the frame, and I like where she's positioning, and I like the rope along the bottom of it. Like all of that. Just there's way too much other stuff going on.
This is where I think we're going to disagree. I think there's about 19 other things that you could point out that I would say, yeah, you betcha. This photo, again, this was entirely posed. I didn't have, like, her and I were at the pool to get together. A different day. This wasn't the spray my son in the face day. This was taken, my camera was taken to the pool specifically to get the fun in the sun photo.
Right.
But it was just her and I, and so that was a rough situation of just, hey, okay, go have fun without me supervising you, you know, right up next to you. And so I can snap this photo. Oh, and she said, oh, by the way, Daddy, you have basically one shot at this, and then I'm done.
Right.
Which is kind of her move we talked about many times. But, so, I mean, I like the colors. I mean, I didn't take a polarizer. This I didn't want to. This is kind of a really harsh time of day. And so, basically, I had to go and position her on the one side of the pool where I'm going to get somewhat half-decent side lighting that's going to illuminate her face evenly.
Right.
Because there's no bounce, there's no flash. This is basically out of camera.
Right.
And so I had to go and position her the best spot I could to kind of get a decent thing. And I wanted to show that, yes, she is at the pool. There is some stuff going on that yeah, may be distracting. But ultimately, my opinion is you start looking at her because you see her right away. She's engaging she's engaging you.
Yeah.
By looking at the camera. And then, yeah, your mind does wander around to the atmosphere. It's out of focus enough to know that it's not sharp. It's meant to be out of focus. This was shot with a 30mm at an f/8.
Yeah.
On purpose. Like, I set the camera before I even lined up this shot. I knew what I wanted. Now, there are some distracting people in the background. But ultimately, I think you do come back and you look at her again and then you're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, again, this one is... You know, it's pretty good travel log photo of our pool.
Right.
You know, there's a lot going on. We have on the left-hand side, the guy in the little waterfall thing, the silver waterfall. There's the slide in the background that my son loves and my daughter hates for some reason.
Right.
Other than that, I can just start naming things that you see. Hey, look at trees.
Yeah, there's trees. There's other people.
What I was surprised and relatively impressed with was the saturation of colors,
mm-hmm.
Even though it was kind of taken at an inopportune time of the day.
Right.
So that kind of worked out and
nice. I agree. Blues. It's very, very saturated, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you look at it, you know, in contrast to mine, where it's very washed out.
Right.
Yeah. So you see it more obviously, just again, because I'm looking at these photos side by side.
This is actually, I don't think they had this in mind when they built the pool, but this is a pretty cool outdoor pool because the pool itself is stainless steel.
Okay.
Like the entire thing, the walls of the pool and the floor of the whole pool is made from steel, which basically reflects light quite well. It's a giant bounce board, so you get a lot of light coming in and filling in all over the place. So it's really quite cool, the effects that you can get. Probably not their thinking, not why they built it like that. Here they are. Here we are, though.
Just a nice bonus.
Just a nice little bonus. Thank you, Germany. this week's topic. Last week, we talked about how to overpower the sun.
Yes.
And using a flash, and it's kind of coincidence that we had a listener send us a question, wanted to know, Matthew wants to know, he's looking to buy his first flash.
Okay.
Now, in short, he's basically, he asked you, and you haven't responded yet, but...
Okay, yeah, he was asking me, I'm sorry to say that I haven't been on Facebook, or where did he ask it, email, Facebook?
It was Facebook.
Okay, I haven't been on Facebook for a while.
So he basically wanted to know, hey, he wants a flash. He's looking at the Yong Nuo since Adam is the Yong Nuo expert. What do you think? And I said, well, let me dive in here and give you my 2 cents that because I know Adam doesn't have a Yong Nuo flash.
Do not have one.
Right. Probably would. If they came out 3 years ago, you'd probably own a couple of them.
Yeah, no, I probably would. I probably would have gone that route.
Yeah.
Essentially the equivalent to the Canons I have, I would buy the Yong Nuo version, which would save me probably $100-$150 a pop.
Turns out more than that, it looks like.
Okay.
I was surprised.
Okay.
But yeah, they are much, much cheaper, like laughingly so. However, I had no idea. And basically, so what Matthew wanted to know is he's looking at the different models of the Yong Nuos, and I guess some of them are just basically manual flashes, like with a built-in radio trigger,
mm-hmm.
but they're manual, and some have ETTL and high-speed sync.
Okay.
Now, he wonders, do I really need ETTL and high-speed sync?
Okay.
What do you think? Does Matthew need, without knowing anything else, he's shooting with the 50D, but other than that, without knowing anything else about Matthew, does he need ETTL?
He technically doesn't need it.
This is not the advice I gave.
He will want it. You can certainly do Flash. We both do Flash in full manual mode. It certainly can be done. But if he was asking me what should he buy, he should buy a Flash that does ETTL and high-speed sync, because it is going to be wildly useful, and especially the ETTL.
Like, I'm going to almost agree with you.
Okay. I need both. I love and need both.
You do
both.
Need. Yeah. Now, Matthew, you do need ETTL.
Okay. But again, it is the splitting hairs of need and want.
I suggest that you do that. I recognize the difference. Yeah.
Okay.
Still
needs it.
I want to be right.
Okay.
I don't need to be right.
Okay.
Just kidding. I need to be right. The difference being, okay, I will suggest that when you buy your first Flash, you have no flashes.
Right, none.
Besides a little pop-up one built in the 50D. But you're buying your first external Flash. Buy one. You do 100% need ETTL. Simply because you're going to find yourself in positions where you're doing running around at a wedding or whatever it is that you're doing, or just at a family barbecue party, where you're going to want to bounce Flash off different ceilings, walls, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, you're not going to have time to dial in the Flash power every single time. You're not going to be able to shoot and look yourself. That is when you 100% need ETTL.
I agree. Bouncing on camera, flash off walls, absolutely. ETTL.
So you do want one with that feature. Now, first of all, I'm assuming most people know what ETTL is, or ITTL, or in the Nikon world or whatever. Point is, it's through the lens metering. So what ends up happening is you pop your flash on your camera, you go to snap a photo. The magic, the little sorcerer that exists in your camera, what it does is it shoots out a test flash that bounces off the wall, hits your subject, comes back through the lens. The camera says, oh, that's too much, dials it down to the proper amount of flash. All in just a split second, before you can even know what's going on, it's done all that work for you. So instead of you fumbling around, you know, for 5 minutes dialing each photo in, it does it in, you know, 1/200th of a second.
Right.
This is awesome. When I explain that to people and show them, they think, wow, what a world we're living in. Also, man on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. So in that case, you do need it. Now, if you're taking your camera, your flash off the camera, you know, it sounds great on paper. Like, oh yeah, you got that ETTL off camera, which I know was kind of a selling point for you when you had your Canon 430s. You still have them.
Yeah.
One of your selling points to you was that, hey, I'm going to use ETTL off camera.
And I do. And
sometimes
I use it. Sometimes it's certainly, you know, if you're shooting a portrait, it's the case of you dial everything in the way you want it and don't leave it up to the camera. But as I was explaining earlier, where it is useful is if the kids are at the playground or doing something action related, where, you know, you basically want to shoot the action and you're not going to stage this, then the ETTL is super useful off camera.
Absolutely. In that when things are changing, when you have lots of variables that are changing, you know, second by second, then ETTL is your best friend. Now, that being said, I don't have that capability because of my triggers, so I shoot full manual off camera flash. I do have a sync cable that I can use with my 580 EX2, which basically gets it, you know, a decent distance off camera and still retain the ETTL features.
Right.
But for my general stuff on stands, everything, you know, is manual. So that being said, Matthew, I would buy one of the models, which is they're just under $150.
Okay.
For the YN600 or whatever it's called, which is basically the knockoff of the Canon 600, which I think retails for around $600.
So the
knockoff, I think, is under 150, and that's got the ETTL, the high speed sync, all that built in.
Now consider this, and so here is my argument for why you might buy a Canon. Again, kind of the same reason you might buy a Honda or a Toyota is they retain their value very well. So, you know, I've had my Canon flashes now for, I don't know, the first one I bought maybe 5 years ago, the second one maybe 4 years ago. I could turn around and sell them at any point and probably get 80% of my money back out, even at this point, like in terms of what the going rate is on those flashes. So
okay.
It is a pretty safe investment. They are retaining their value very, very, very well. So the Yong Nuos, again, not nearly as well. Like you can look up on Craigslist and they go even cheaper on Craigslist. So
right. If you're just going to burn it to the ground,
if you're just going to use it until it doesn't work anymore, assuming, cause I don't know, quality wise, if the Yong Nuos will last the same way. Again, never had a problem to this point with either Canon flashes. I use them a heck of a lot, more than I'd say the average person would use their flash, and never had issues at this point, 5 years in the making. Extremely good on batteries. Mm-hmm. Will give you 500 plus pops to a set of batteries. I always use rechargeables. They're great even on rechargeables. Recycle time's good. So again, I don't know all the variables to comment specifically on the Yong Nuos. So price is one variable. I would make sure you do your research on all those other variables and whether they're important to you or not.
It's an interesting way to do it, to think about it, because I mean, you say you drop $600 and can sell it for 80%. That's $480. So it's essentially cost you $120 to use your flash.
Yeah, for a couple of years.
Versus 140 for the Yong Nuo, which is for all intents and purposes, we're just going to call that a push money wise.
Yeah.
But maybe you do get a higher quality out of it. Maybe the Yong Nuo is fantastic. I have zero time on those Yong Nuos. I've never even held one in my hand. What I'm saying is, the first one you get, definitely get the full ETTL and high speed sync. It'll come in handy, and the add ons that you get if you're going to buy more, because you can buy the cheaper Yong Nuos that don't have that.
Right.
That I understand will still, if I understand correctly, will still work in conjunction with that the expensive Yong Nuo flash. So you could then put together one that you can use on or off camera, and then a multiples off cameras to add to it. Maybe you want 3-point lighting. Well, now all of a sudden you don't need those to be ETTL.
Right.
So you can save a bunch of money that way. Assuming, even if you don't want to go all Yong Nuo, I mean, you can go buy the one decent on-camera flash and then buy a bunch of used strobes.
Yeah, and the way I've looked at it, and I probably at some point will buy a Yong Nuo flash because I have the triggers and the Yong Nuo Master kind of trigger now, and I have the two Canons that basically speak to the Yong Nuo trigger. But when I use a third flash, it's full manual, and I use the Nikon flash. But basically, because it's a Canon trigger used with the Nikon flash, everything's got to be done. Like I have to go over to the flash. I know that mm-hmm. sounds very time consuming, but I have to walk over to the flash and change it. And now I've gotten super lazy because I can do it all from the camera or from the trigger. So at some point, adding another flash, because I wouldn't even need a trigger, because again, they're built in with the new Yong Nuos, as far as I know. I could just buy one of these flashes as an add on and then have three flashes, all that can be controlled from the Master Commander.
Life is good, my friend.
Yeah, and that's kind of the throwaway flash, because I wouldn't be using that the most of the time. Mm-hmm. I would be using the Canon workhorses.
The workhorses. That's a good way of describing them. So if anybody does have time on the Yong Nuos, let us know what you think of them, because I actually would probably pick a couple up myself at some point. They're great to have in the bag. That's it. So let us know what you think of them.
And based on, you know, the build quality and everything that I've seen from the triggers, and I imagine the flashes are very similar, and everything I've seen has been good to this point. So again, I'm a proponent of Yang Nuo, but just don't have any time on the flashes. So,
right.
Yeah.
Challenge for next week.
I'm sure you have one, yeah.
Let's tie it right in with what we just talked about. ETTL, that's it.
Great.
So dial something in with that. Websites, Adam, where can people find your stuff?
Hopefully, adamschwartz.ca, or also on the Two Hosers Facebook page.
Love the Asoyas pictures, by the way.
Okay, because, yeah, I'm going to put those up. Yeah.
Great response on the Facebook by now.
There you go.
Okay. Everybody loves them.
Yeah.
You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to, we just talked about. Or something like that. Some sentence in English that makes some sense.
Great.
Until next week, get out there and make better photos.